إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، it's always a pleasure to welcome all of you in our classes here at Masjid al-Tawheed in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, درسنا متواصل من الملخص الفقهي لفضيلة الشيخ الوالد الدكتور صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله، باب في أحكام الحيض والنفاس، وآخر باب في كتاب الطهارة، ثم بعد ذلك نشرع في كتاب الصلاة. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we go ahead and learn the last chapter in the section of purification of tahara. Before we go ahead and begin the chapter for salat, prayer. And in this chapter, we will learn the rulings and regulations pertaining to haid and the nifas, menstruation and postnatal bleeding. أولاً الحيض وأحكامه. Number one, the Sheikh is going to deal with the haid, menses. And of course, this is primarily, these are for women, but this is a part of our religion. And we men, we need to learn these matters so that we can assist, inshallah ta'ala, our mothers, our wives, daughters, and the like. The Shaykh began by bringing the ayah 222 of Surah Al-Baqarah, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى فَاعْتَزِلُوا النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَ فَأْتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. They ask you concerning menstruation. Say, there is an adha, a harmful thing for a husband to have intercourse with his wife while she is having her menses. Therefore, keep away from women during menses, meaning not to have intercourse with them. That's what he means. Not just to keep away from them, meaning to go on somewhere else. So keep away from them during menses and go not into them till they are purified from menses and have taken a bath. And when they have purified themselves, then go into them as Allah has ordained for you. Truly Allah loves those who turn to Him in repentance and loves those who purify themselves by taking a bath and cleaning and washing thoroughly their private parts and bodies for their prayers. قال الشيخ والحيض هو دم طبيعة وجبلة يخرج من قعر الرحم في أوقات معلومة. He says, as for the haid, it is a blood, it is a natural blood. That Allah created the woman. The woman is not like the man. And there is a natural blood that comes from the bottom of the womb. The womb of the woman. In precise times. Not all time, but in well precise times. So is a blood. خلقه الله لحكمة غذاء الولد في بطن أمه لافتقاره إلى الغذاء. Allah created this blood for wisdom. And that is, this is how the fetus in the womb of his mother get food, get nutrients. is nurtured through it. Because the fetus needs nutrients to grow and to stay alive. إِذْ لَوْ شَارَكَهَا فِي غِذَائِهَا لَضَعُفَتْ قُوَاهَا فَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ هَذَا الْغِذَاءِ. The Shaykh says, because if the fetus has to eat from that which the woman eats and from the nutrients that her body needs, then she become weak. The woman, she become weak if the fetus takes from her nutrients that her body needs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and made this for him, for the fetus. لذلك قل أن تحيض الحامل. The Shaykh said, for this reason, that's why it's rare when you find a woman when she's pregnant, it's rare when she has her menses. It's rare. فإذا ولدت قلبه الله لبنا يدر من ثدييها ليتغذى به ولدها. Says, and when a woman gave birth, she dropped the load. Allah turns that blood to milk that comes from her breasts. Once again, so that she can nurture her baby now. قال ولذلك قل أن تحيض المرضع. For this reason also, is rare for women who are breastfeeding to have their menses. It's rare for the women on their the women that feeding their babies by the breastfeeding, it's rare when they have their menses. قال فإذا خلت المرأة من حمل ورضاع بقي لا مصرف له ليستقر في مكان من رحمها. So now he says, that's why when a woman, she's not pregnant and she's not breastfeeding, so that blood is still there now. That blood assembled in a part of her womb. ثم يخرج في الغالب في كل شهر ستة أيام أو سبعة أيام وقد يزيد عن ذلك أو يقل. And then he says, usually it will come out from her in every month. Every month the woman will have a cycle, and this blood will leave her womb and her body. Because usually, most women, they have this for 6 to 7 days. Their cycle, menstruation cycle, 6 to 7 days. وَقَدْ يَزِيدُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ أَوْ يَقِلْ. For some women, they may have more than this. Some they have less. Some they have more than 6 or 7 days. While other women, their cycle may be less than 6 days. ويطول شهر المرأة ويقصر حسب ما ركبه الله من الطباع. So the menstruation cycle, the menstruating cycle for a woman differs from a woman to another. For some are longer than others, and for others are shorter than others, based on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the things that Allah has put in a woman and the like. قال وللحائض خلال حيضها وعند نهايته أحكام مفصلة في الكتاب والسنة. He says, as for the woman while she's on her menses, during her cycle, menstruation cycle, and at the end of it, there is well detailed rulings and regulations in the book of Allah and in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before we continue reading to you, I just want to say something that Shaykh Abdullah bin Abdul Rahman bin Salih al-Bassam rahimahullah, he mentioned in the introduction of this chapter also Bab al-Hayd min Nail al-Ma'arib fi Tahdhibi Sharh Umdati al-Talib. He says, إن في باب الحيض على المشهور من مذهبنا مسائل مشكلة وأخرى ضعيفة. He says, indeed, in this chapter of حيض, according to our madhab, there is a lot of مسائل, issues and points and matters of difference of opinion of the ulama. And others, they are weak. And the like. ولشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله اختيارات في هذا الباب نفيسة. Says, however, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has chosen some well beneficial and golden opinions in this chapter. What we're going to do, inshallah, we're going to read from the Murakhas al-Fiqhi because this is what the class is about. If we have some time, whether this class or the next class, because I don't think we're going to be able to finish it tonight because it's chapter a little bit longer, a little bit, not a lot. Inshallah, we may read to you those ikhtiyarat of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Okay? So the Shaykh he mentioned, he says that there is difference of opinions as related to this matter. And for indeed, some of the points, we're going to mention them because this is mulakhas, summarized book of fiqh. And also, لا يقتدي المقام التفصيل. This class is not oriented for details, and we go every detail because people are going to be confused. And I remember now, while I was saying this, two or three days ago, I was reading a book about Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the author he mentioned something that there was this student of knowledge, this Shaykh, he has a radio program. In that program, this student of knowledge, this Shaykh, he will discuss the difference of opinions of the scholars in fiqh. In wudu, in ghusl, tayammum, hayd, salat. And the Shaykh bin Baz, he wrote a letter for this Shaykh. First of all, he thanked him, he said, Jazakallahu khairan for this program on the radio. And programs like this, mashallah, are very much needed. And whatever you say and you present, and all of the statements, and you presenting the statements of the ulama, the books that you come from, it's all good, alhamdulillah. However, he says one thing. He said to him, you bring points, and you bring so much difference of opinions. This madhab said, this sheikh said, this book. He said, and then you're confusing the people. He says, now you address him because who's listening to you? Not every student of knowledge, not all of them, laymen. Because he says, this program, the radios is this program, radio show, it is oriented for laymen, for general folks and the general people. He says, and this is confusing for them. The Shaykh says, rather, I will suggest that if he wants to continue with this effort, but I'm willing, the Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahu ta'ala, he said to that person, I'm willing to speak in your program. Tell me what to speak about. Give me my subjects that I need and the topics, and I will speak in a manner that everybody benefits, students of knowledge and laymen. He said, and I will, inshallah, get you other mashayikh. Shaykh Ghudayyan, when he was alive, rahimahullah, the Mufti, he says, and others. He mentioned three or four. He said, I will talk to them, inshallah ta'ala, and see what they can do. Divide the chapters and the sections between us, and we will find time, inshallah ta'ala, to help you with this effort. He said to him, as for just you come and mention so many books and ikhtilaf, opinions, this madhab is on this, and then you leave the people out there. He said, that's a confusion. طيب. The Shaykh says, من هذه الأحكام أن الحائدة لا تصلي ولا تصوم حال حيدها. Okay. The Shaykh now, Shaykh Fawzan, and of course now when the issues of اختلاف, you will find the Shaykh bringing what he thinks is right. يختار. Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he will choose. When we mention here, even though there is some points we're going to mention, there is اختلاف amongst the ulama, Shaykh Fawzan, he says what's to him is the proper way and a proper opinion. من هذه الأحكام أن الحائض لا تصلي ولا تصوم حال حيضها. From The first rulings that a woman during her menses does not pray and does not fast. During her menses, doesn't matter if it's 6 days or 8 days or 4 days. As long as she's on her menses, that woman, she does not pray any prayer and does not fast in the month of Ramadan. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لفاطمة بنت أبي حبيش إذا أقبلت الحيضة فدعي الصلاة. متفق عليه من حديث عائشة عند البخاري ومسلم. In this hadith is agreed upon by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Fatima binti Abi Hubaysh, he said to her, when your menses comes, do not pray. Leave off the prayer. قال الشيخ حفظه الله فلو صامت الحائض أو صلت حال حيضها لم يصح لها صوم ولا صلاة لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهاها عن ذلك. Sheikh Hafidahullah says, so a woman in her menses, if she fasts or pray while in her cycle, menstruation cycle, that fasting and that salat are not valid. Are not valid. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade her from doing so. والنهي يقتضي عدم الصحة بل تكون بذلك عاصية لله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Shaykh says these prohibitions necessitate that the action is not valid. The Shaykh says rather if a woman does so, she is disobeying Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. If she fasts during her menses or perform the prayers during her cycle, she is disobeying Allah and disobeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number two from the rulings and regulations pertaining to the men and women. فَإِذَا طَهُرَتْ مِنْ حَيْدِهَا فَإِنَّهَا تَقْضِي الصَّوْمَ دُونَ الصَّلَاةِ بِإِجْمَاعِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ. Once a woman is pure from her menstruation cycle, so she make up the exact days that she has missed in Ramadan due to her cycle, and she does not make up the prayers. A woman, after her cycle comes to an end and she's pure and purified, she make up the same exact days that she has missed in Ramadan, but she does not make up the prayers that she did not perform during the same exact days. He says, and this ruling has a consensus of the people of the knowledge. قالت عائشة رضي الله عنها كنا نحيض على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فكنا نؤمر يعني الرسول الذي كان يأمرهن فكنا نؤمر بقضاء الصوم ولا نؤمر بقضاء الصلاة. متفق عليه عند البخاري ومسلم بنحوه. متفق عليه بنحوه. He said, the Shaykh says, because of this hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Bukhari and Muslim, saying the like of these wordings, similar narration. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, kunna, meaning her and the women. She says, we the women, we used to have cycles, menstruation cycle in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we used to be commanded, meaning the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam who commanded them. And we were commanded to make up the days we missed from fasting, and we were not commanded to make up the prayers. Thalithan, من أحكام الأحكام المتعلقة بالحيض والنفاس. Number three from the rulings and regulations pertaining to menstruation and postnatal bleeding. ومن أحكام الحائض أنها لا يجوز لها أن تطوف بالبيت ولا تقرأ القرآن ولا تجلس في المسجد، ويحرم على زوجها وطؤها في الفرج حتى ينقطع حيضها وتغتسل. الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى says, and that's why it's very important to pay attention to who says from the ulama. You don't want to just confuse matters and say this sheikh said but he never said it, or ascribe an opinion to one sheikh to another sheikh. And keep in mind that this ikhtilaf with the ulama is when ikhtilaf sa'ir, when ikhtilaf is allowed. As for matters that are clear in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no ikhtilaf in these ones. And no one should oppose what Allah says or what the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. There is no ikhtilaf in these ones. But sometimes the ulama, when they don't have a dalil, a text that applies on that matter, or the proof exists but it's not clear to them, they said this is not clear that is can be applicable. The ulama, they mention dalil sahih aw sarih. قد يكون صحيح بل غير صريح وقد يكون صريح وغير صحيح. Is this terms? They says sometimes a proof is sound, hadith is sound, but then it is not clear that this hadith here can be applicable in this matter. And sometimes you find that text is clear, yes, this is the right text that can be applicable in this matter, but then the other way is not sound. So this is what some of the things. There is a lot to say, but like I told, this is not a class of talking about the ikhtilaf and the like. Just giving you a little, you know, basics, little bit, you know, a drop on a big bucket, how these affairs come. As you find now, for example, sometimes I'm gonna mention to you something shortly, inshallah, that you find, for example, if Sheikh bin Baz says something, Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen says something else. Yeah, they ulama. Sheikh bin Baz is one of the mashayikh and the teachers of Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen. But then you find Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, he has some opinions that Sheikh bin Baz has others. Likewise, Albani. He differed from both of them, Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen and Sheikh ibn Baz. You find that Sheikh Albani has one opinion, and both Sheikh ibn Baz and Uthaymeen, they have a different opinion than Sheikh Albani. But they are ulama, our scholars. But alhamdulillah, once again, this is very important. This deen is the deen of Allah. And this is what we learn from our ulama and our scholars. We don't blindly follow this sheikh or this sheikh. That's from the way of the Hizbiyun. They just select their mashayikh, and whatever these two or three or four or one or less said, that's it. No. We don't do it. This deen is the deen of Allah. قال الله قال رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is what Allah said, the Messenger of Allah said. But then, in some of matters, when there is ijtihad between the ulama, especially in the matters of fiqh, then mashallah, we follow the ulama. Especially those amongst us who didn't reach a level of knowledge that they can themselves study the issue and study the adilla. Naam, Sheikh Rabi hafidahullah ta'ala, he says, it's not permissible for students of knowledge that Allah has given him some knowledge to blindly follow an opinion of a sheikh until he go and see where the sheikh came with that. Study the proofs. But if a layman, however, the ulama, he says, as for the laymans who don't know, mashallah, they can follow a alim rabbani, a trustworthy scholar. But still, if they have the opportunity to ask another sheikh, another alim rabbani, to make this clear to them, they should do so. But if somebody is a layman, he cannot just say, no, okay, والشيخ الألباني said this, شيخ بن باز, you know what, I look at it another way. No, can't do that. Can't, just, you just can't. But if a person, Allah has given him some knowledge, and he reached a level of that enable that person to with understanding from Allah, and inshaAllah ta'ala, and he has good intention because he wants to apply what is right, that's different. طيب. So we go back inshaAllah ta'ala. Now why I'm saying this, because this is where the points of ikhtilaf will start right now. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he said, in al-mulakhas al-fiqhi, وَمِنْ أَحْكَامِ الْحَائِدِ أَنَّهَا لَا يَجُزُ لَهَا أَن تَطُوفَ بِالْبَيْتِ. From the rulings and regulations pertaining to the mensing woman, meaning on her, while on her menses, is not permissible for her to make tawaf around the Kaaba for Umrah and for Hajj. ولا تقرأ القرآن, and she doesn't recite the Quran. ولا تجلس في المسجد, and she doesn't sit in the masjid. ويحرم على زوجها وطئها في الفرج حتى ينقطع حيضها وتغتسل. And it's not permissible, rather is forbidden for her husband to have intercourse with her in the way that a man have intercourse with his, he can't enter her until that blood come to an end and she purify herself by taking a bath. As for mensing women reciting the Quran, we have, I went and have some statements from the main scholars of this time. Like I told you, if you want to sit right here and read to you the statements of the ulama and their opinions, and how some of them, they says, yes, she can recite the Quran, and while they refute those who do not say she can't, and then we go to you and read to you those who said no, she can't, and how they refute the adilla of those who says can, we're going to stay here until next week. And once again, like I told you, it's not the purpose of this class. This is something that a person wants to do in his own, mashallah, jazakum Allah khair. You want to do that and you want to study, get in details. But now we're here to give how the people can understand this matter. You find here in reciting the Quran, you find Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh al-Albani, they all agreed, yes, a woman can recite the Quran. And especially if there is a need, Sheikh bin Uthaymeen and Sheikh bin Baz, when they answer those questions, what I have in my hand, you know, but I'm not going to read them, give you the idea. Okay, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on my tongue that which is right. I mean, because these are very detailed matters, and if I made any mistake, correct me, please. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, Shaykh ibn Baz, said, especially if there is a need for her to recite the Quran, such as, for instance, she's a teacher. This is a woman that teach Quran or teach Islamic studies. Or she's a student. She's a student and she learned Islamic studies, and a part of that she's going to recite Quran, or she's memorizing Quran. And they're afraid that they may lose or forget, yes, they can. And they went with a lot of details at all. As for a woman staying and sitting in a masjid, different questions come in here. Can a woman come to the masjid? Of course, she doesn't pray. It's not permissible for a woman to come and pray with the women. But can she come to the masjid and sit to listen to the classes, for example, khutbah and the like? Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh ibn Baz says no, she doesn't do that. Unless in that masjid, they have an area that is, the intention, what is intended by that area is for those women, and is not a part of the masjid. There is a room for those women and their menses, they come and sit there, and it is linked with, a speaker. It is wired with speakers, and they can. Otherwise, no. They can go through the masjid, but not sit in the masjid. Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and then Sheikh al-Albani agreed with him on this. They says no. A woman can't come to the masjid. It's okay for a woman and her menses to come to the masjid. And they mentioned that hadith is weak because of the chain of narration and this and that. And also the Prophet ﷺ, there used to be this black woman, she used to stay in the masjid, and she used to clean the masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ, they said, Shaykh al-Albani rahmatullah says, we don't have one narration that the Prophet ﷺ told that woman, okay, you can stay, but on your menses you can't. You have to go somewhere else. طيب. And also the Shaykh rahimahullah, or hafidahullah Shaykh Fawzani says, it's not permissible for a man to enter his wife in from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded men to enter their wives while on their menses. While in her menses until the blood stop. Meaning until her cycle come to an end and she purify a ghusl. And he mentioned the same ayah at the beginning of the ayah, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ, ayah 222 in Surah Al-Baqarah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he explained, al-i'tizal huwa tarkul wat. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, fa'tazilu an-nisa. Literally translation is like, stay away from women. But somebody may understand, stay how? Stay away. Go to another place, get a hotel room, or what? Send her to her family. Because I heard, wallahu a'lam, they said that the Jews, al-Yahud, they do not eat with the women, they don't share the same bed with them on their menses. Is that right? You heard that too before? No. So that's what I heard. It says the Jews, they and the women in their menses, they don't even sit with them, they don't eat with them from the same utensil. Alhamdulillah for Islam. Sheikh Fawzani says, you stay away from them here, meaning do not enter them. Do not have intercourse with them as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ اصنعوا كل شيء إلا النكاح رواه الجماعة إلا البخاري وفي لفظ إلا الجماع. And all in this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says to men, do anything you want to do with your wives except جماع, except intercourse when they are on their menses. This colloquial Imam Muslim and Imam Ahmed, Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Nasai and Ibn Majah. رابعا number 4 ويجوز لزوج الحائض أن يستمتع منها بغير الجماع في الفرج كالقبلة واللمس ونحو ذلك. Which this brings us to the fourth ruling, that it is permissible for the husband, a man who is married and his wife she has menses, it's permissible for him to enjoy himself with her except for intercourse in the private area where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded men. So he can kiss his wife and he can enjoy her, but no intercourse as they usually do until the cycle comes to an end. So it's very important for men to know this, and it's very important for a woman to know this. Just in case the man wants to do it, especially he don't know. Some men, they have no clue where the cycle is or not. Because some of us men, we don't pay attention. We don't pay attention to these things, and we should. So the women should know these things. Because the man, he's not gonna every time, are you in your menses? She may get offended. Why are you always asking me this question? But she should know. But the man, he will know. There is other ways he know. How? For example. She relax? No, more than that. She don't pray. Because he's like, he wake up for tahajjud. Or she used to wake him up for tahajjud, but now she didn't wake up. Or she wake him up and said, go pray. And he's like, you're not coming? He don't even have to ask that question. If she just said to him, go ahead and pray, because she used to wake up and make wudu and get dressed and then she wake him up, right? Imra'a saliha, a righteous woman. Alhamdulillah. May Allah make our wives all like that. I mean, and our daughters too. Yeah, I have daughters too. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. And daughters too, and mothers. Okay. But we're talking about here a wife. That's why I mentioned that. Jazakallah khair. Huh? Ahsan. Barakallah fiqh. Jazakallah khair. He loves his daughter. MashaAllah. Barakallah fiqh. May Allah make her righteous and all the daughters of the believers and the Muslims, I mean. طيب. Now what is the point I was talking about? Huh? No, him. He gotta get me out of this. نعم يا شيخ. طيب. That righteous woman, alhamdulillah, wife. طيب. She wake her husband and mashallah. But one day she's still in the bed and she said to him, honey, it's time. Faddal ya akhi, faddal. Now he knows, since she didn't wake up and she's still laying down, he's like, oh mashallah, she can't pray. And that will tell him, and he know her cycle, now he's not going to start something for 6 days, if her cycle is 6 days. But some men, they don't understand. That's why the woman, she has to know. Just in case if the man didn't notice that she didn't wake up for 2 nights of tahajjud. Just in case he didn't notice that he used to come and see her praying, but none of that. She tell him, akhi, no, I can't have it like that. طيب. Because it's not permissible to do it in this time. جزاكم الله خير. I know this is something a little bit, but this is our deen, you know. This is our religion, mashallah. Number 5, وَلَا يَجُوزُ لِزَوْجِهَا أَنْ يُطَلِّقَهَا وَهِيَ حَائِدٌ. From the rulings, it's not permissible for the husband to divorce his wife while on her menses. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Talaq, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ. Who knows the number of Surah At-Talaq? What chapter is that? That's the verse number 1 in Surah At-Talaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, Ya Ayyuhan Nabi, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you divorce women, divorce them at their iddah, prescribed periods. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan says, Ay tahiratun min ghayri jima'. What does that mean? Divorce them at their iddah, at their prescribed periods, meaning tahirat. They are not on their menses and without having intercourse with them during that clean cycle. Okay, that understood? Okay. وَقَدْ أَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ طَلَّقَ امْرَأَتَهُ وَهِيَ حَائِدٌ أَنْ يُرَاجِعَهَا ثُمَّ يَطَلِّقَهَا حَالَ طُهْرِهَا إِنْ أَرَادَ. The Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizhahu ta'ala, he says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded the person who has divorced his wife. A person has divorced his wife while she's on her cycle, her menstruation cycle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered him to take her back and then divorce her when she's in a clean cycle. وَالطُّهْرُ انْقِطَاعُ الدَّمِ. فإذا انقطع دمها فقد طهرت وانتهت مدة حيضها فيجب عليها الاغتسال ثم تزاول ما منعت منه بسبب الحيض. The Sheikh says, طهر here, this clean cycle that we're talking about, clean, is when the blood stops. No flow of blood from her body. Meaning the blood of menstruation. Not talking about blood when she cut her finger or something preparing food. So we're still talking about menstruation here, okay? So the Shaykh says, once the blood stops, she is pure. And her period and cycle come to an end, it is incumbent upon her to take a bath. And of course, if she cannot take a bath, that's something else we all talked about in the chapter of ghusl. And then, after that, she can do the thing that she couldn't do because of her menses. وإن رأت بعد الطهر كدرة أو صفرة لم تلتفت إليها لقول أم عطية رضي الله عنها كنا لا نعد الكدرة والصفرة شيئا رواه البخاري وغيره وله حكم الرفع لأنه تقرير منه صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Sheikh says, but if she saw a kudra or sufra, sufra is like this is something that some women they experience beside the blood that come on their menses, some other fluid come from them. A yellowish and a blackish one. The women, they know these things because that's their body. But if she saw any of this, she shouldn't pay no mind to them. The Sheikh says, because of the statement of Umm Atiyya radiallahu anha, she said, we didn't pay no mind to these two things. We didn't consider them from things that we have to pay attention to. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and other than him. وَلَهُ حُكْمُ الرَّفَعِ. And why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he approved them for that. He didn't correct them and tell them, no, you need to take ghusl or this or that. تَنْبِيهٌ muhim. And then the Shaykh mentioned a تَنْبِيه. What is a تَنْبِيه in English? This is your question. It's a question from me to you. To see it was, you know, some Arabic. But actually, I don't know. Me too, I forget. What is تَنْبِيه? Attention. Drawing your attention. Now, sometimes when they say تَنْبِيه, meaning like they want you to pay attention. They want to draw your attention to something. But this is muhim. What mean muhim? Important. Muhim. So important message. Okay, what is it? إِذَا تَهُرَتَ الْحَائِدْ أَوْ النُّفَسَاءِ قَبْلَ غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ. This is very important for the women to know. If that woman in her menses, or the woman that gave birth, and both they were pure, the cycle come to an end before sunset. Before sunset, the cycle come to an end before sunset. لَزِمَهَا أَن تُصَلِّ الظُّهْرَ وَالْعَصْرَ مِنْ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ. Now that woman, she prayed dhuhr and asr of that day. وَمَنْ طَهُرَتْ مِنْهُمَا قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الْفَجْرِ لَزِمَهَا أَن تُصَلِّ الْمَغْرِبُ وَالْعِشَاءِ مِنْ هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ. Says, and also, لِأَنَّ وَقْتَ الصَّلَاةِ الثَّانِيَةِ وَقْتُ لِلصَّلَاةِ الْأُولَى فِي حَالِ الْعُذْرِ. He says, likewise, if a woman become pure from her cycle, or the woman who have a birth become clean from her postnatal bleeding before Fajr comes in, she got to pray Maghrib and Isha of that night. She pray Maghrib and Isha of that night. After she take a bath, of course. قال شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله. شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى says, ولهذا كان جمهور العلماء كمالك والشافعي وأحمد يقولون, says, for this the جمهور, in the majority of the scholars, and from them he says as an example, Malik, Shafi'i and Ahmed, they used to say, إِذَا طَهُرَتِ الْحَائِدْ فِي آخِرِ النَّهَارِ صَلَّتِ الظُّهْرَ وَالْعَصْرَ جَمِيعًا. If the woman become pure from her menses, and from that cycle, in the end of the day, she prayed Dhuhr and Asr together. وَإِذَا طَهُرَتْ فِي آخِرِ اللَّيْلِ صَلَّتِ الْمَغْرِبَ وَالْعِشَاءَ جَمِيعًا. Likewise, if the woman is pure from her cycle, in the end of the night, she pray Maghrib and Isha together. طيب. كَمَا نُقِلَ ذَلِكَ عَنْ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ عَوْفُ وَأَبِي هُرَيْرَ وَابْنِ عَبَّاسِ. So then this was transmitted from عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ بْنِ عَوْفُ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ وَابْنِ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. This is Sahaba. نعم. قال لأن الوقت مشترك بين الصلاتين في حال العذر فإذا طهرت في آخر النهار فوقت الظهر باق فتصليها قبل العصر وإذا طهرت في آخر الليل فوقت المغرب باق في حال العذر فتصليها قبل العشاء. But in this case she started with ظهر then عصر in the end of the day. But if this happened in the end of the night, she started with مغرب first then عشاء. ونكمل بعد الأذان إن شاء الله تعالى. نعم. And then the Shaykh, he says, وَأَمَّا إِذَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا وَقْتُ صَلَاةٍ ثُمَّ حَادَتْ أَوْ نَفِسَتْ قَبْلَ أَن تُصَلِّي فَالْقَوْلُ الرَّاجِحُ أَنَّهُ لَا يَلْزَمُهَا قَضَاءُ تِلْكَ الصَّلَاةِ الَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْ أَوَّلَ وَقْتِهَا ثم حاضت أو نفست قبل أن تصليها. شيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه تعالى, he says, now if the time of a prayer comes in, like Dhuhr or Asr or Maghrib, and then at that time the woman, her cycle began, started, or she gave birth before she performed that prayer, the time of the prayer comes in. Okay, for example, this woman, she was okay, alhamdulillah, she has no cycle. Dhuhr at 1 o'clock, for example, the adhan, the time of dhuhr comes at 1. MashaAllah, she's still busy with certain things. 10 minutes later, before she prayed dhuhr, her cycle starts. The blood starts to flow. And she didn't pray dhuhr, even though the time of dhuhr comes in. The Shaykh, he says, the correct opinion, al-qawl al-rajih, that she does not have to make up that prayer. She does not have to make it up. That when the time comes in of the salat, she was still pure. She didn't have her cycle, but the cycle came after that. The likewise, the same thing applies on a woman that she gave birth after the time of a salat comes in and she didn't pray the salat. And he says, قال شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله في هذه المسألة. And he brought the statement of شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى in this matter. قال والأظهر في الدليل مذهب أبي حنيفة ومالك أنها لا يلزمها شيء لأن القضاء إنما يجب بأمر جديد ولا أمر هنا يلزمها بالقضاء ولأنها أخرت تأخيرا جائزا فهي غير مفرطة. He mentioned a statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, who says, what is clear from the proof is the madhab of Abu Hanifa and Malik rahimahumallah. In this matter, that a woman, in this case, she doesn't have to make up that prayer. Now we're still talking about the woman that the time of the prayer comes in, and before she prayed that prayer, now her cycle began. Because she was pure at the time when the salat time comes in. When the salat time comes in, she was still pure. But her cycle began. And she didn't pray that prayer. She make it, she don't make it. What we understand from the statements of the Shaykh is that there is a difference of opinions. Because he says, Al-Arjah, Al-Rajih. Shaykh al-Islam to me, he says, Al-Adhar. What is more apparent from the Dalil is that which Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik rahimahumallah, they went to and they choose that this woman doesn't have to make up that prayer. He says, why? Because she didn't delay it out of negligence. No, because she was still in the time of the salah. Not everybody pray right at the adhan, right or not, especially for women. Women, they have a time. They have a time frame. When the salat ends until right before the time expires. So this woman, she was not negligent. She didn't neglect the prayer. It's not like the time when the prayer comes in and she's still pure. The time come out and still didn't pray. No. This woman, she was still in that time that it's okay for her to pray at the beginning or later on. قال فهي غير مفرطة تأخيرا جائز. Her delay the salat, it was permissible for her, because she's still in a frame, time frame. She didn't neglect the prayer. قال وأما النائم أو الناسي, شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله says, as for the one who oversleep or someone who forget to pray, وإن كان غير مفرط أيضا, even though they do this, they didn't do it out of negligence. فَإِنَّمَا يَفْعَلُهُ لَيْسَ قَدَاءً. Because when they pray, when they wake up, and when they remember the salat, they're not making up a prayer, but actually they're performing it. بَلْ ذَلِكَ وَقْتُ الصَّلَاةِ فِي حَقِّهِ حِنَ يَسْتَيْقِنُ أَوْ يُذْكُرُ. Because now they're not making it up like someone who on purpose didn't pray. And they making up the prayer after its time. No, the person who oversleep and the person who forget the prayer. So when he wakes up, and when she remembers, then at that moment they have to pray it immediately. And that's their time for the prayer. That's their time. And of course here the Mashaykh, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Ibn Baz and others, rahimahullah, he says, you gotta be careful how to understand oversleep. This is not someone who really when he went to sleep, especially for Fajr, this happened usually for Fajr. Is it different with somebody, alhamdulillah, in his heart, because this is the action of the heart, the intention. Somebody always, before he go to sleep, he's like, I'm waking up for Fajr, inshallah. I gotta go and pray Fajr. And he put the alarm on and everything. And then, this person, he's not like someone who going to sleep and he's like, man, I'm not going up. Or he's like, I wish if my wife don't wake me up. Or he don't set the alarm clock. You know, he has the alarm clock. He set it every day to go to work because this man has to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning. On his day off, he don't set the alarm clock for Fajr. You see that? Every day to go to work because he has to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. 6 days a week. One day, his day off Tuesday, for example. I hope nobody here has day off Tuesday. This make that Wednesday. Now we have the same problem. Okay, well, let's just make it a day off, all right? Without naming it. Now you find that person every single day, alarm, and he check the alarm clock 4 or 5, maybe he has 3 alarm clocks. Right or wrong? Why? He wanna go for the money. He don't wanna miss a day. Because he knows if he miss a day, But on day off, this person turn off the alarm clocks, turn the plug off, he don't want to hear it, he wake up whenever he want to. Nah. Sheikh Ibn Baz actually, rahimahullah, has a fatwa on this one. He says, if a person does this on purpose, he wakes up every morning, and he makes sure the alarm clock, he calls somebody, please listen man, call me, alright? He put the cell phone on a high, low, on a loud position, because he has to wake up for work. Which is good, alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong with that. You gotta do that. But then he says, on a day off, he don't wake up, he don't care, until whenever he wakes up, he said, that's an act of disbelief. He says, had a kufr, alhamdulillah. The action is the action of kufr, disbelief. It's very serious, ikhwan. Wake up for money, but don't wake up for the akhirah. Wake up for the dunya, don't wake up. Naam, it's good to wake up for dunya. Naam. Yes, if you have a job like that and you know yourself it's difficult for you to wake up, yes, put 5 alarm o'clock. I'm with you on that one. Have some brothers to call you. Wake up, akhi, go to work. Take care of your family. You gotta be responsible. But the same way, on a day off, you gotta wake up for Fajr. And especially, Fajr come at 6 o'clock. 6:45. Sometimes 7 a.m. here in Georgia. And the person wake up at 4 o'clock every day, now he have a break 3 hours, and still don't wake up. SubhanAllah. So this issue has to be understood. Oversleep is someone who take precautions, but then for whatever reason he oversleeps. It's not like in his mind, because Allah knows, Ya Akhwan. It's not in his mind, I'm now waking up. No, this is bad for that person. Who is he hurting? Somebody? No, he's hurting himself. But if somebody really have the intention and he set the alarm, but then it was a storm that night. And what happened to the electricity? The power went out and didn't come off. What happened when the power went out for like 5 minutes and come back? What happened? Everything. Does know the alarm is blinking. It set back to what? To 12 a.m. So now there is no alarm now. That's it. Unless if that person wake up, alhamdulillah, and set the alarm again. That person, if he does not wake up, that's something else. Or if a person, mashallah, he was moving or helping another brother moving, or that brother, he was driving the whole night until he get home right at 3 a.m. and he got, I gotta get some sleep, and he set the alarm, but he couldn't hear anything. That person, when he wakes up, the mashayikh, they says the first thing he should do, not fix a cup of coffee. Pray first. Don't check his phone. Don't make phone calls. If this happened to you, the first thing you do, you pray the prayer. And it happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were in a valley and they overslept until the sunrise. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, he moved from the area and the first thing he did, they pray. And likewise, if somebody forget, can somebody forget really the prayer? Yes, we're human beings. That's why we are insane. Yes, you forget sometimes. MashaAllah, half an hour ago, you're like, I'm going to the masjid, alhamdulillah, for salat al-asr, Allahu Akbar. But then you forgot. Then later on, you remember. What you do now? You pray. At that moment, you pray. And this, by the way, the ulama, they said, these are the two excuses for men. Not your job. Some people, they're like, no, I got my job. And they don't pray Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. When they pray? When they come back home at 11 o'clock. And after they sit down and check the channels and what's in there, what is not, their emails, and eat, and then they're like, oh man, I gotta make up these prayers. Bismillah, Allah, Allah. Job is not like that. Some people, they just pray Dhuhr, and that's it. They're like, man, they start like dozing off, go to sleep, and they don't make up those. Like, tomorrow I'll do it, and tomorrow, next week, 6 months later, la. Your job, before you go to the job, actually, you know you're a Muslim, man. And you know you're supposed to pray. When you go for the interview, tell them, listen, what do you want me to do? If it's halal, not haram, tell them, yes, I'm willing to do all this, but hold on, let me tell you something about me. You told me what to do, but this is what I want to do too. I'm a Muslim. I need to pray. So you want me to come at 3 o'clock until what, 11? So now you're going to pray Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. Tell him, look, I need 5 to 10 minutes. The hour break, I don't need it. Can you divide it? I want to divide in these times. They say yes, Alhamdulillah. So nobody can tell you no. They said no, say Alhamdulillah, go find another job. Some men, they go and beg the manager, I'll do anything, and then when later on, even some managers, because they know before, some Muslim is like, wait a minute, you're Muslim, right? Yeah, what about your prayers? No, prayers, no, that's okay, it's okay, pray home, now. Why? Tell the manager. I know it, sometimes a brother called and he's like, he went for the interview, nothing. No appearance as a Muslim. Nothing. He get home, he take the kufi off and put the Yankee hat. Or the Braves, I should say, right? On. The jeans. He has his toe off. And he went there. He don't look no Muslim. Now he get the job. And they tell him, okay, this is your schedule, okay? From Monday to Saturday, you got Sunday off. Sunday off, well, that's church day. Now we have a Mexican guy who is a Christian, they give him Friday off. So now he's like, wait a minute. Now he want to fight the manager. Why you give this guy Friday? I'm a Muslim. He's like, you're Muslim for real? No, you go there, you tell them, listen, what you want me to do? Alhamdulillah. If this is something haram, tell them I can't do this. See you later. Thank you for your time. But if the job is halal, now you're going to tell them, I'm Muslim, Friday. What about Friday? Because at that time, the manager, listen, he makes like, oh yeah, we have Friday open. Then I'm like, I want Friday and I can work any other day. Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter bunny, Easter whatever, nanny, I'm down with you guys. Christmas, I'm here working. New Year, count on me. Put me down for the next 10 years, inshallah. Christmas, I'm down here. Maulid, I'm down here. Because some states like in Dearborn, they give them the holiday. Because there's a lot of Muslims. Tell them Maulid, whatever, I'm down here, I'm working. Friday, you're not going to see me, and you don't supposed to see me at this time. And even if you have to work, tell them, put me on the other shift. And this way, alhamdulillah, you keep your identity. People are going to like play these games. No, you can't do these things. This is the deen of Allah. We got to take it seriously. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ikhlas and sincerity. And keep us firm upon the deen of Allah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا